Amen. Thank you, ladies. That was beautiful. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 42. Our subject matter this morning is the process of purification. The process of purification. God is very purposeful in all that He allows into our lives, and it's so true that He does make all things beautiful in His time. Part of that is transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. So this morning I'd like to note some principles on the actual process. Genesis chapter 42, let's read verses 15 to 17. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you. Or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. Let's bow for prayer one more time. O God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us and teach us this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Joseph said to his brothers, "You need to prove that you are true men." More so, God was proving or refining the brothers of Joseph. Trials that God allows into our lives have purpose. Times of testings have purpose. And this situation involving Joseph as he stood before his own flesh and blood is no exception. The process of purification. We have noted here in Genesis chapter 42 some of the kinds of fires that God uses to purify us. And we referred back to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7, where the Bible talks about the trying of your faith being much more precious than gold, tried by fire. So just as gold is purified by fire at a certain temperature, and there is also a way that the impurities are removed from the gold, so likewise God uses different kinds of fire to purify us. And yet within the usage of fire to purify you and I, there is a process. Now we noted 5 kinds of fires. This is not exhaustive, but there are 5 here in Genesis chapter 42. You can't exhaust the Word of God. But there are 5 that are referred to here within this chapter. There is the refining fire of humility. At times God needs to humble us. We need humility. Am I right or not? We need to stumble down some stairs so that everybody can see. That's a humbling experience. Good for us from time to time, to remind us that we're not invincible. Sometimes God uses the fire of having our motives questioned.
Joseph said to his brothers, "Why are you here? You're spies, aren't you? You're not really after food, you're spies." Sometimes God uses harsh treatment. The Bible teaches us here that Joseph spoke roughly to his brothers there in verse number 7. Sometimes harsh treatment is a means by which God purifies us. Pain, suffering, hurt. Sometimes God uses the fire of mystery. But God doesn't reveal the full picture. If I have this operation, for example, will I be better off or not? Mystery. And sometimes God uses the fire or allows the fire of being accused falsely. Joseph said to his brothers, he said to them, "Why are you here? Where are you from?" And they said, "Well, we are such and such and such and such." And Joseph said a number of times, three times, "No, you're not, you're spies. Admit you're spies. You need to prove to me that you're not spies." And that's where we're at in the story. Now it's important that we move on and just think a little bit deeper about our times of testing. So we've noted five different kinds of fires that God uses, amongst many others, to purify us as gold. But just like there is a process in which gold is purified, so likewise there is a process by which God will purify us as we're in the fire. Now to purify gold, the temperature needs to be so. And then there is a particular method. This is how you remove the impurities. And this is where you stand, etc., etc. There is a process. And when God allows trials and testings into your life and in my life, and God chooses to put us through the fire, there is a process line. There is a process of purification. I grew up in an Italian household, 7 children, good Catholics. We were partially very traditional and partially very Aussie. The traditional parts involved us making our own tomato sauce. True Italians make their own sauce. And as children, we had to be involved in the process of making our own sauce. And it was bigger than Ben-Hur, I'm telling you. I hated every point of the process. From the washing of the tomatoes, putting the tomatoes into this little handheld mincer that would mince all the tomatoes. And then the next point in the process was putting the sauce in the bottles that had this horrible long neck, or beer bottles, I think they were. And we used a plastic funnel, and you'd pour the tomato into the bottles, and it'd get stuck all the time, so you'd have to jam it in. And then at the end of that, you had to put a stalk of basil. And if you'd put too much sauce in the bottle and you'd stick the basil in it, then it'd all ooze out. Horrible job. Horrible. I detested every part of the process, but I'm telling you, the end product. The end product was out of this world. Beats Domino's any day. I didn't enjoy the process. Pastor, did you enjoy any part of the process? There were about 5 main points in the process. And all of us kids were stationed at each point. I didn't enjoy. I detested the putting it in the bottle. That was the worst job of all. I didn't enjoy any part of the process, but at the end of the day, when that sauce was prepared and fired up, and it eventually ended up on the plate, magnificent. I didn't enjoy the process. And you and I might not enjoy the process of purification, but at the end of the day, God wants to refine you and shape you into the image of Jesus Christ. But the process might not be very pleasant. And God wants to purify Joseph's brothers so he puts them through different steps. Let's note the process this morning. Look at verse number 17. Verse number 17. The Bible reads that Joseph put them all together into ward 3 days. The ward here is in reference to prison. Joseph locks them up for a couple of days. Joseph gives them a couple of days to think. They are locked up for 3 days. Time to ponder. Joseph has just said to them, you need to prove that you are not spies. And I'm going to give you 3 days to think about it as to what you will do. So he locks them up for 3 days. And first and foremost this morning, part of the process of purification for our lives is that God will give us time, one way or another, to stop and think. See, for example, a sickness may put you on your back or out of action for a period of time. It can be the means by which you stop long enough to evaluate or reevaluate your life purpose and priority. God ordained downtime is not wasted time. And sometimes in the process of God purifying us, God will put us on our back, so to speak, or God will confine us to the point where we have to just stop, think, ponder. A wonderful example of that is found in the life of Jonah. When Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale, it forced him to think and ponder his actions, did it not? If it wasn't for that time, Jonah would have just kept going. He would have kept running away from God. But God got a hold of him, and God enclosed him in a 5-star luxurious motel in the whale of a belly, of which all he could do is stare at the 4 walls of a belly for 3 days and 3 nights. That got him thinking. And note there in Jonah chapter 2, please, for a moment. Jonah chapter 2, verses 7 to 9. Jonah chapter 2, verses 7 to 9, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee and into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So while Jonah had some downtime, literal downtime, in the whale of a belly, God got his attention. And he considered what mattered most. And beloved, when it comes to the process of purification in your life and in my life, don't underestimate that season of pondering. Where you are forced to just consider, now what's happening here? What's God doing? What's the purpose of all this? So Joseph very wisely said to his brothers, you guys need to prove that you are not spies. I'm going to lock you up for 3 days. Think about it. What are you going to do? Pondering. If you go back to Genesis chapter 42, please, let's also note the next stage within the process. So Joseph gives his brothers time to think, ponder, consider. Secondly, note there in verse number 18, Joseph said unto them the third day, this is on the third day, look at verse 18, this do and live, for I fear God. So Joseph said to his own brothers on the third day, what I'm about to tell you, do, and you will live. Joseph charged his brothers to follow procedure. This do and live. Look at verse 19 and 20. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. What did Joseph say to his brothers? This do and live. And at the end of verse 20 it reads, and they did so. Joseph calls for cooperation. See, part of the process of purification, as God allows the trials to enter our lives, is that you and I need to decide, are we going to cooperate with God? Are we prepared to follow instructions? Will we be leadable in our times of testing? Will we be prepared to follow counsel? There are countless promises within the pages of God's Word. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God promises a way of escape. But that way of escape comes via God's procedures. This might involve obedience to God's Word in some way. And may I submit to you that as you and I go through the process of purification within our lives, God will often give us time in the whale of a belly. Think, consider, God's allowed this for a purpose. This trial that you're going through, do you think it's just an accident? Oh, Pastor, what about just a bit of bad luck?
no such thing. There's no such thing as the God of luck. He was an old Greek god. We don't believe in old Greek gods. We believe in the one true and living God. God is purposeful. Ponder. Number two, God calls for our cooperation, and God will put you through the process line of where you've got to decide, am I going to follow God's procedures? Am I going to follow the prescription that God gives to me in His Word? See, Joseph said to his brothers, this do and live. One of you remain behind, the rest of you take your food back to your family. Bring Benjamin to me. Follow instructions. Take your prescribed medicine until completion. Oh, but Pastor, I felt better after the second dose. No, you take it to completion. Most people do not fulfill a prescribed medical intake. Am I right, Brother Adrian? Proven scientific fact. Oh, I feel better already. I've taken one of these little ugly things and I feel better already. No, no, no. That's how many of God's people are with God. God's saying, I'm giving you the prescription. Follow it through to the end. And God said to, is saying to you and I, He has given us His promises in His Word. And if you and I are to come forth as gold, then we need to be prepared to cooperate with God and do what He tells us to do. Amen, Pastor. Amen. You'll need to make a decision to obey, do what needs to be done. You're struggling with a besetting sin? Well, my Bible tells me, make no provisions for the flesh. Are you prepared to do that? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Are you prepared to do that? Evil communication, corrupt good manners. Are you prepared to do that? Joseph said to his brothers, this do and live. Follow my guidelines and everything will be okay. Read my lips. You want to salvage your marriage? You want to strengthen your marriage? Then follow the prescription. We've had some wonderful teaching in our couples class. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, reverence your husbands. Oh, he doesn't deserve respect. That's beside the point. God told you to do it. So just do it. Believe it. And Joseph said to his brothers, this do and live. I'm giving you the procedures. Do it. Beloved, His Word is full of truth. Full of promises. We need to just follow the prescription. Amen. That's part of the process. Note the end of verse number 18. Are you still with me? You're not falling asleep on me? Look at the end of verse 18. What did Joseph say to his brothers? Talk to me. He said, what? For I fear God. Joseph said to his brothers, this do and live, for I fear God. The second most powerful man in all of Egypt that holds in his grip the fate of these men confessed that he feared God. Confess to these men that I love God and I wouldn't do anything to displease Him.
Joseph was instilling hope into these men. For he said there in verse 18, "This do and live, for I fear God." You follow the procedures that I have given to you because I love God. Just like we would expect these men to cleave to this glimmer of hope that all will be well because this man fears God. God wants us to cleave to the hope that He gives us in our times of testing. And see, part of that process of purification involves ponder, think. Secondly, make a decision. Yes, I will follow the procedures that God has for me. And thirdly, cleave to that hope that God gives us. Cleave to that hope that God has given you. As God allows us to be tried, He won't leave us without hope. He is the God of hope. Go to Romans chapter 15, please. Look at verse number 13. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and" what? "Peace." Joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Our God is a God of hope. And when we cleave by faith to that hope in God, there is joy and peace. And we can cleave to that hope in the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us as God's people. When a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, God's Holy Spirit indwells that individual. My friend, are you indwelt by the Holy Spirit this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? The Lord Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God." Have you been born again? Do you know what it means to know Christ Jesus as your own personal Savior? See, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I love this verse. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yes, He did. Sinners like you and I, in need of redemption, in need of forgiveness. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We are born again by the Holy Spirit through the power of the Word of God, by faith and faith in Jesus Christ alone. And when a person is born again, they receive the presence of the Holy Spirit. And with the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of His presence, we can believe in the God of hope and have that joy and have that peace. And when you and I go through the process of purification, God is no man's debtor. God will give you hope. Hope comes from the Word of God. In the same lipful, Joseph said to his brothers, "This do and live." Read my lips. I fear God. Hope. God gives us hope. The first gospel preacher in this land of Australia, Richard Johnson, had that hope, being absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. And he communicated that hope shortly before he stepped into eternity. He wasn't concerned about his eternal destiny. He knew to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Richard Johnson said to his wife, his parting words to his wife were, very simply, God bless you. God bless you. See, Richard Johnson had hope, but he was instilling hope into his wife. God bless you. Simple, but profound. A man that had hope. Oh, let's go to verses 21 and 22. Chapter 42. So the brothers determined to do what they were told to do. And note their response in verses 41 and 42. This is not pleasant. This is the equivalent to sticking that sauce into that bottle and having it all ooze out. Ugh, miserable job it was. This is this part right here. Look at this. Look at verse 41 and 42. And they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." Look at verse 22. And Reuben, he was the eldest, answered them, saying, "Spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? For ye would not hear, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." Upon their commitment to do as they were told, the brothers bring up that which happened some 20 years ago. No doubt they still felt very guilty and believed that their treatment now was simply a reaping of what they had sown. And they said, in essence, "We are guilty of Joseph's blood," verse 21. In essence, they were saying, "Our hands are still stained with his blood." And here they are in verse 21, confessing their sin against others and against God. "We are verily guilty concerning our brother." Now, Joseph has said nothing to them. Remember, they do not realize that this man second in charge to Pharaoh is Joseph. They don't realize that. So all of a sudden, they, amongst themselves, "We are very guilty of what we did to that brother of ours 20 years ago." And then Reuben pipes up in verse 22. He said, "You bunch of ratbags, I told you not to do it. You wouldn't listen to me, and here we are." Yeah. "If you only listen to me as the eldest brother, then we wouldn't be where we're at now." So Reuben vomits all over his brothers. They vomit all over one another. It's a very unpleasant situation. Sauce is oozing out everywhere. Yuck! So in the midst of this, listen to me, in the midst of this trial and testing, these men are caused to resolve unresolved conflicts, to deal with sin in their lives. Their sin against God, their sin against their brother. And then Reuben said, "You have hurt me. I begrudged it for the last 20 years. Why didn't you listen to me as your eldest brother?" Jim Berg calls it the two sides of the wedge. The one side is that we confess our sin before God, how we've hurt one another
and violated God's stand. That's one side of the wedge. The other side of the wedge is that we get things right with those that we've hurt. Obviously, Reuben is hurt. Can you see that? He's still begrudging these brothers of his that wouldn't listen to him. What sin is God bringing to the surface in your life that he wants you and I to deal with as we go through our time of testing?
Oh. I told you wouldn't like this stage of the process.
Pastor, you mean God often allows us to go through times of testings, and in that purification process, there might be some things wrong in my life? Yes. Yes. Yes.
I don't like that, Pastor. Neither do I. But it's Bible. Talk to me.
So, Pastor, what you're saying is, if I'm going through a difficult time, or when I go through a difficult time, could it be that there might be some impurity in my life? Come on. Of course there are. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. All of us need to be purified just a little bit more. Say amen. Oh, I'm going through such a difficult time. Good. There's a reason for it. Yes, there is. And these brothers were so stubborn, 20 years of not dealing with this sin. 20 years of hurt in Reuben. And God's saying, okay, boys, we're going to deal with this. And out it comes. Amen, Pastor. Thank you. Pleasure. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 read, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the land in the way everlasting." See, part of the process when it comes to purification, being purified as gold, is to remove the impurities. And beloved, when God allows you and I to be tried and proven, could it be that there are some impurities that God wants us to deal with?
The process.
I think we better stop there. You've gone quiet on me. I knew you wouldn't like that point, but it's in the Bible. Did they know it was Joseph? Yes or no? Did Joseph bring up the topic? Yes or no? Their conscience. Now, I'm not saying that every time you and I go through a time of testing, it means that you and I are filthy, rotten, unclean sinners in the fullest sense of the word. But I'm simply saying all of us have impurities.
Are we not? Don't kid yourself to think, oh, I'm okay. I'm just going through a time of testing. The Lord just wants to transform me more into His image. Yes, yes. But how is He going to do that without purification? Okay. That means you've got to remove the dross. There is no pure gold on this side of eternity. We talk about pure gold on this side of eternity. There's no such thing. 24 carat is the limit. Because my Bible tells me that pure gold is as glass. Clear. You can see straight through it. But there will be pure gold in heaven. But until that day, you and I need to be purified. And if God allows us to go through a time of testing, God wants to purify us. Ponder. A call to cooperation. Cleave unto hope. And deal with unresolved conflicts. Finally, these brothers, after 20 years, have got to deal with this issue of Joseph. There are some other principles, but next time. That's probably enough for this morning. That last one I want to really hammer, because we don't like it. I don't like it. Until you and I realize that we are before a holy God, we are not what we should be. Praise God that we are not what we once were. And God uses our times of testings to purify us. And that might involve you and I confessing before God and confessing before fellow men, I have sinned. I've done wrong. I need to set it right. Because God wanted to do a work through these brethren, but God had to purify them first. And part of that process involves resolving the unresolved. That which has been swept under the carpet for the last 20 years. And it could well be that trial, that testing that you are going through now, God is saying, hey, remember that 20 years ago. Deal with it. It's still there. You're still feeling guilty about it. It still keeps coming up in your mind. But you're knocking it down, but it still keeps popping up. Deal with it. And that person that you hurt is still hurt today. It hasn't gone away. Deal with it. Am I clear? I hope so. Let's bow for prayer.